Lecture 17, Crisis in Corcyra, 435 to 432 BC.
In this lecture, I plan to look at the crisis that precipitated the Peloponnesian War. And perhaps it's useful to stop a moment and think of where we've come from and where we're going, and also to give you some idea of how Thucydides has seen these developments up to this point. This course is based on the Peloponnesian War. That's our main focus. However, we've spent a fair amount of time on the background, and that is sketching out the belligerents, our principal sources, Thucydides, as well as looking at various aspects of the changing political and cultural situation in Greece between 480 BC and essentially 435 BC, where we start today. That is the outbreak of the crisis, the immediate crisis that led to the Peloponnesian War. And by doing so, I believe we have a very good understanding of the positions of Athens and Sparta, of the various allies, the types of interests that both states had, as well as the way diplomacy is conducted, and the wider ramifications when this crisis breaks out. Exactly what would be important to the Athenians or the Spartans if this crisis were to be resolved other than by fighting. And without that background, I think it would be quite difficult to understand the outbreak and the course of the Peloponnesian War. Thucydides himself did spend time handling some of this background information. He did not have to explain nearly as much to his readers, since they were Greeks and they understood a great deal of this. But even he adopted an unusual structure for the first book of his history. When you start with book two, the history follows very strict chronology. Each year, he tells us what happened in the first year of war, the second year of the war, whether it was in fall, whether it was in summer. And he's very specific on his times and places. But in his first book, he had to structure the argument the way we've had to structure this course. He gives an introduction in his first book on the archaeology, the traditions of Greece leading to the emergence of powers. He discusses his method. And then he talks about the immediate cause of the war, which we're going to deal with today, the issue that broke out over Corcyra, which in Thucydides' view is not the real issue. It is only the prophasis. It's the seeming issue. It's the excuse. It's the pretext. And he discusses these immediate issues that led to the fighting, the prophasis. And then he takes us to the Spartan assemblies that voted for war. And when they vote for war in Book 1, Chapter 88, the final decisions are made, he concludes that all of this wasn't really the real cause. It was the growth of Athenian power. And then he gives us this long exposition of what had happened from the Persian Wars up to the outbreak of the war. And when he finishes that, the so-called Pentaconta Etia, he resumes his narrative of what led to the war. So in a way, what we've done is slightly adjusted Thucydides' own structure. We've given all of this background, introduced the historian and his methods, and what led to the crisis that in Thucydides' mind is the immediate crisis. And from now on, we will follow a fairly strict chronological procedure, using Thucydides' narrative as our base, and the following lectures will follow very closely the Thucydidean account, and then when we lose Thucydides, the other sources that come to our rescue. Well, with that introduction in mind on where we've been and where we're going, let's look at that immediate crisis in Corcyra. It certainly didn't erupt in the most obvious of areas. And as I've mentioned in earlier lectures, the 30 years peace settled most of the outstanding questions between Athens and Sparta. And if one looked at the axis of each of those alliance structures, there doesn't seem to be many points of conflict. At least there didn't seem to be in 446, 445 BC. And yet, within about a decade of signing that treaty, a local crisis rapidly escalated to a regional crisis, which then involved all of the great powers of the Greek world in a general Hellenic war. And this rapid escalation of the crisis from 435 BC to 432 BC has fascinated historians, popular writers, political scientists, policymakers ever since. The crisis is often compared to the July crisis of 1914, which led to the outbreak of the First World War. It has been compared to comparable crises in the 20th century, including the Cuban Missile Crisis, a crisis that didn't escalate into a general nuclear exchange, although it seemed to at the time. an event that I remember as a boy, which actually marked my understanding of modern history as now the Soviet Union, not Nazi Germany and Japan, were the rivals. It's an interesting perspective on how popular perceptions are changed by events.